Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Frank and Open Discussion. We're here with Jeff, Ben, Dean, and Ken.
We're doing this weekly now.
Yes, W-E-A-K-L-Y.
And welcome to another edition of a Frank and Open Discussion. Here we have...
Jeff.
Jeff enjoys walks on the beach and photographs of sunsets.
And drinking pina colada and getting caught in the rain.
I'm Ben. I'm not in the middle today. I'm centre left.
You're sort of hanging off to the side.
Yeah, I'm Dean.
I'm Ken. I'm on the far right.
He's on the far right.
Because this is a visual medium.
He's old Ken. So you're on the far right, I'm on the far left. What does that make me?
Well, you know,
that's right. Che Guevara.
I try not to take any particular political position.
That's because you're not even a citizen.
So what are we talking about today?
Some very important drummer died recently.
Yes, sadly, Neil Peart.
I have no idea
who that guy
is.
Is
that Bjork?
You don't know who Neil Peart is? He's only like the best drummer in the world. With Rush. He's a drummer for Rush.
He was a drummer for Rush for the last 40 years. And he died. And I'm very sad about that.
We apologise for Ken's ignorance. I didn't even know he was unwell.
I wasn't informed
on the drummer's network.
They'd stopped playing, right?
Well, right, but
Rush,
I mean, that's
because playing because
that's because he was 60 years old and it's bloody hard to play the drums, right?
Not at 60.
Oh, it's more like 67 or 68 or something.
Got, you know, an illness.
Okay. Well, I think when you play him like Neil, they probably require a fair bit of fitness.
And a big handlebar mustache.
So he played the drums hard?
How did Neil influence your playing,
like,
Dean?
Hard. Neil set a standard would make me realise I was never going to be a great drummer.
I still remember the comment you made once where we were jamming and I said, Dean, play it like this. And you said, I'm not bloody Neil Peart, mate. Okay. So that's the standard we all aspire to. You sadly will never gain it. But keep trying.
Incredible.
You keep trucking.
Incredibly virtuosic. He actually described himself as a drum composer. His thing was, like, he wanted to be very consistent. But then towards the end of his sort of career, he got more into the improvisation. I always remember seeing Neil drum. He almost has no expression on his face. He's like, all of my concentration is going into what my arms are doing. I've got nothing. Nothing shows on his face. He's just stony. Just arms going crazy, legs going crazy. Amazing. Incredible.
What's even more amazing is that he was still taking lessons while he was a drummer. Mm. Like, he's like, I can always get better. So it's like David Gilmour going, you know what, I should have a guitar lesson.
Well, Mark
Knopfler does that.
I think
David Gilmour.
No, he wants to have lessons.
Right.
He went and changed his whole drum style, like, I think in the late 90s or something like that. He's like, oh, yeah, I've done this. And he changed from match grip to traditional grip.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he spent a whole year with this, like, legend drum guy whose name I forget, relearning how to play the drums. And he talked about this sense of fluidity and orbital motion and cyclic thing that he wanted to do. What I found funny was he took this whole year off to relearn the drums, and they went and recorded an album and everyone in Rush went, well, it just sounds the same as what you usually did. And he goes, well, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but the way he did it was completely different.
Yeah. Exactly.
I did it a different way.
Yeah.
But anyway,
Jeff, you're a big Rush fan, right?
I am.
And you actually haven't been able to get a word in yet about what Neil's greatest moments were for you.
The big drum fills in Tom Sawyer, obviously. That's a good Neil Peart moment.
Can we hear that bit?
No, we'll just cue it up now.
Dean can play it.
He was also canny in that he wrote all the lyrics for the song. So even though he was a drummer, he made sure he got his...
That's true.
He got the credits.
He's the lyricist.
The lyricist.
I didn't realise that.
Yes. Who would have known that a drummer can write lyrics?
Okay.
I mean, apart from Watcher on the Wall.
Well, I mean, when Geddy Lee sings them, who knows what the lyrics actually are?
Well, I do. Anyway, what was your first Rush album?
Moving Pictures, obviously.
Ah, I remember in uni. It was really weird because they never got played on the radio in Australia at all.
Betcha they won't play and this song on the radio.
I was at uni and I don't know how I knew, but I just knew. I went to like some music store and I saw the records and I was like, I'm going to get this one, Unheard. I bought A Farewell to Kings, I think it was. Yes. Had Xanadu on it and it had Cygnus X1, it had Closer to the Heart, it had all sorts of good stuff. And
not the ELO version.
I think my introduction to
great.
To Rush might have been via Rock Band.
Rock
actually.
Band, yes.
We used to play Rock Band in Utah, and I think Tom Sawyer was on that.
And YYZ,
yes.
Or YYZ, as they
say. If you look on YouTube, there is an amazing video of this 11-year-old Japanese girl with a beret playing YYZ on some sort of, like, organ, playing all of the parts. She's playing the bass with her feet.
Yep.
It's incredible. It's amazing. Look it up right now. Pause now. Come back.
In fact, do not pause and do not leave. Just stay.
We should pay tribute by covering a Rush song later. I mean, there's got to be an easy one,
well,
right?
No,
surely there's an easy Rush song.
In a previous life, I tried to cover Tom Sawyer.
Yeah, that's a hard
and
one.
And yes. It was impossible.
Actually, well, it's relatively simple comparatively.
It was impossible for me as a guitar player to sound anything like that track. So
it's pretty hard to drum too.
If I were to do...
Just quietly.
But I mean, we had the synth sound right. No worries. Had the Taurus pedal sound
the
right.
The world is the world
but,
is
life. You know, if I were to cover it, I would have to play the guitar in my style. I would have to do David Gilmour Plays Rush.
Yeah,
which
that
may
work.
Sound completely wrong.
I really like Rush, but because this is become my role in this podcast.
He's the bad boy.
If I had to make one criticism, it's that
the Red Simons.
The best parts of Rush were when Geddy Lee shut up. I mean,
you just imagine it's Kate Bush singing. How cool is it? Kate Bush is singing in some Canadian heavy rock band.
He makes John Anderson sound like a baritone.
Yeah, I like it. I loved it. I always have.
Legend.
And now we change the subject.
We could do that. We're talking about yet.
Well, I had a thought this week is that we wrote this song, or Dean wrote this song. It was called Watcher on the Wall. It was heavily Game of Thrones influenced, right? Watcher on the Wall, you know,
and that's
the wall,
why it was
blah,
such
blah, blah,
a
blah.
Huge success.
But I was just thinking, ever since that final season, like everyone's just agreed to be quiet and shut up about Game of Thrones. It's like it's just. Its cultural influence has dropped off a cliff, and that's just when we released a single saying, we're Game of Thrones. Like, no one talks about it
anymore.
The
last season was so horrible, apparently,
yes, it's
right?
Just the cultural cachet has just dissolved. Like,
well,
everyone's, that never happened.
It's like all the kids talking about The Rise of Skywalker.
Or, I don't know, I've never seen that one.
Or when they did that Star Wars variety show in the 70s.
The Christmas special
that's
is
awesome,
the one
though.
You're
thinking. No, the holiday special.
No, that
holiday
didn't special. Stop people was talking about okay. Star Wars.
I still talk about that today. So your point
we bring
invalid, Ken.
I mean, definitely seen that Star Wars holiday special at some point.
I've got
this distinct memory of it, and it was awful.
No, I've got the Betacam broadcast DVD version, if you want it.
And so,
but be that as it may,
getting back to Game of Thrones.
We still talk about it, but Game of Thrones is like we invested 7 seasons. Everyone loved the books. It came into popular culture. People would quote this and that and talk, I'm a Jon Snow of this, and you don't know nothing, Jon Snow. And then the final season came and everyone went, oh, well, that was crap.
Well, my...
And no one mentions it anymore. It doesn't influence. It doesn't pervade. It's like it just went up in a puff of dragon fire.
Well, I don't feel I'm not getting the pressure to watch them.
Well,
getting the pressure all the time from everyone. Oh, yeah,
it was this big thing.
People
and all
staying
of a
home for the you know. Yeah.
This is why my next song is called The Witcher on the Wall.
The Witcher. I haven't watched that one either. I should.
It's,
I've heard of it.
It's good. Speaking of new shows, Ben, have you watched Picard yet?
I have not. I've obtained the first episode, and believe it or not, I forgot to watch it.
Wow.
Over the weekend. However, I have been watching Mandalorian.
Oh, yes. Very good show.
And that's excellent.
It took me a little bit to get into that.
It's not a fast-paced...
No.
It's more like...
It's not the one with Baby Yoda.
Yeah. It's more like the original Star Wars movie, Slow.
It's a Clint Eastwood spaghetti western in space. It's fantastic.
Basically, Jon Favreau has saved Star Wars from Disney?
Well, I think what they did well is they didn't do... make Star Wars that felt like Star Wars for the fans and, like, tick all of those boxes. But instead, what they probably should have done to produce a good show was take that universe and do something different with it. And I think that's, like, why The Mandalorian and what was the other spin-off movie that they did?
Rogue One. Really enjoyed.
Yeah, wasn't that good?
Freaking awesome.
Wasn't that good? Because...
Well, it was written by people who loved Star Wars. And Mandalorian is written by people who know Star Wars. You're in the Star Wars universe. Everything's there visually for you to see. There's that, you know. Sound effects from the original, you know, speech.
I'm over the little baby Yoda.
Shut the fuck up.
Look, I'm only halfway.
Can somebody
I'm only halfway
take
through,
this
but there, you cannot be over baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda.
Have you even
awesome.
Seen it, Ken?
I have.
Oh, he's the best.
Oh. I haven't.
I've
just seen the memes.
One thing I really liked is the concept that the rebellions come in and they've displaced the Empire, and much like when people got rid of the Romans, it was all a bit shit. They were like, oh, what's next?
But Romans go home is an order.
What have the Romans ever done?
Oh, that reminds me of Terry Jones.
Oh, goodness.
Another
RIP. That hurts. But it was a long time coming, right? We knew he had Alzheimer's or whatever.
Well, he's not the Messiah. He's just an ordinary boy.
We knew that he wasn't able to
work anymore. What did they describe in the obituary? He had a cheerful battle with a good-humoured battle of dementia.
Yeah, good-humoured, yeah.
Something like that.
Which is kind of cool.
Dennis, show me some lovely filth over here.
Yeah, see, he did the middle-aged women very well.
Do you remember there were those years where all the famous musicians were dying? Bowie left and, you know, it was like month after month, bang, bang, bang.
Miles Davis.
And last year, I think we got off pretty lightly.
Miles Davis?
Like 20 years ago. He died in the 1991 or something.
I remember that, Davis.
Remember that really bad year when, you know, Bach died and then Mozart.
Miles Davis.
Yeah. Ken Robinson. Yeah.
Frankenfido's career.
Oh, that's a threat. Okay.
I've been listening to Eric the Half a Bee a bit. That song
that's
lately.
Great song.
Like, I had it stuck in my head last night. I was going... Half a bee philosophically must ipso facto half not be or something like that.
You see?
Is that the one that starts off...
Vis-a-vis his entity.
Is that the skit that starts off with him trying to get the cat licence?
Yeah. I wish to buy a licence for my pet
cat. Eric.
It's not what the man in the cat detector band said.
The loony detector band, you mean. We could just reenact Monty Python sketches.
Yeah, and that's too
What are they going to do? There's like two...
There's
only half of them left. Four of them.
They said two down, fifths, four to go.
Three-fifths. What?
Well,
four of them. Which four?
Yeah, Graham Chapman died.
Yeah, so we've got...
Terry Jones died.
We've got Eric.
Eric Idle.
We've got John.
John Cleese.
We've got Michael Palin.
Terry
Gilliam.
Oh, and I guess Terry Gilliam you do
Terry
have to
Gilliam,
count.
Terry Gilliam, yeah. Anyway, in memoriam...
Well, you know, this is the problem when all of the music that you listen to is in the 70s and 80s and all of those people are getting old. They're getting on a bit.
You can't tell me that I shouldn't be listening to music from the 70s because they're all going to be dying soon.
No, you're trying to imply I should be listening to current
pop music because they're not going to die as quickly as the guys from the 70s.
No, what I'm saying is that your feeling that all of these great people are dying is... Partly because they're great people.
All the artists you grew up with are all older than you now, and they're all dropping off the twig.
No, they were always older than me.
Yeah, well, now they've reached that point where they're all dropping off the twig. And it's sad. It saddens me.
It saddens me.
It reminds me of my own imminent mortality. And it reminds us all, really, of our short span here on Earth. Maybe we should make the best of it and put out some good music.
But let's talk about...
Speaking about death, the death of record stores.
So we had the article the other day where the actual figures came out and they were saying that, lo and behold, vinyl is not outselling CD. See if I can find the link to the article.
Is that by numerical numbers?
Yes,
or
by actual numbers, by evidence.
But what about...
If these trends continue...
By value.
Yeah, the choice is I could spend $500 on records, maybe 10 records that I'll get sick of within a couple of months, or I get 4 years of Spotify, listen to anything, anywhere, anytime, in pretty good quality... I don't know. I got $500, Dean. Do you want to buy 10 records or 4 years of non-stop music?
Why do I have to choose those? Why can't
because
I just...
this is the thought
why
experiment
Why can't I just blow
have.
It all on hookers and
All right,
drugs?
This is the thought experiment. If
blow,
I had,
blow it on blow.
So what would you choose?
Well, but...
I'd choose the Spotify.
I would choose the Spotify.
Of course you would.
And get the T-shirt.
Right, so why...
Get the T-shirt to remember the band.
Is there any surprise that physical all right, hang on, stores here we go. Are closing?
This is from Super Deluxe Edition, the very, very well-respected website. Paul Sinclair, he's a top bloke. There we go. 4.3 million vinyl records were sold in the UK in 2019. Pretty cool. But however, 23.5 million CDs were also bought by music fans. As it says, not that you'd know it, music media seems obsessed in blending the narrative and bending the knee. Bending, not blending, to vinyl. Five times as many CDs sold as vinyl last year
in
the UK.
If these trends continue... Disco
but it also says
king.
By music fans. Like, how many of those were freaking Mariah Carey Christmas albums?
So how did they play them?
When is that
or
ever,
by Nanas?
When has that ever mattered?
But
how do you?
But how do you play them?
And your Blu-ray player?
I think what would be very
your CD player.
I think
what
be,
CD
what
player?
Would be very interesting is a breakdown of what was actually sold.
But everyone's just buying the Michael Bublé album for Nana. That's what I'm wondering.
That's a lot of Michael Bublé albums for your Nana.
I'd be really interested to dig into what actually was bought.
I had this same thing. Now, I had to poll my mailing list recently, and
all of them at once.
Yeah, both of them. And I put forward the question, hey, my new album's going to be ready sometime in the next millennium. Everyone loves vinyl now. People are buying vinyl. They want, they want something they can latch on to. How about I just do vinyl next time and digital, and I don't really bother with CDs? What do you reckon? And the overwhelming response I got was, do the CDs. I don't buy vinyl. I don't have a vinyl player, which is not... what I expected at all.
And did they also
tie
an onion to their belt?
Which was the style at the
time. Yeah.
But I was swept along in this belief that vinyl was saving the industry and that was the way of the future. And when I actually asked humans, they said, no, we want CD. I think the common wisdom is that people buy vinyl and they don't necessarily bother to play it. They buy it so they've got a physical item in their hands, they've got a big picture they can look at, they've got a folder and everything, and they've got this disc, but a lot of people never actually play it, just sits in the cupboard and they listen to their digital download or their MP3s or whatever.
Do you buy vinyl?
I do buy vinyl when it's a really nice package.
Have you got a really nice package, Ben?
You should know.
I went to the council tip shop last week and they were selling, everything 50 cents for CDs, records, DVDs, whatever. And I was digging through the bins for the classical stuff because I like classical piano music and a bit of Bach. And lo and behold, in the middle there, I found The Stooges, their first LP.
Oh, wow.
Iggy Pop.
What? Well, the three of them?
No, Iggy Pop and The Stooges. Oh. The very first LP from 1969, and it was 50 cents. And I got it home, and I gave it a bit of a rub. I played it, and it's fine. I thought, score, 50 cents for The Stooges.
And then what did you do with the record?
I gave it a bit of a rub, too.
No,
it's
50 cents.
That's staying in, man.
Yeah. That's gold.
That's what she said.
That's what the punters listen for.
I just thought it was apropos, given that we're talking about how expensive vinyl is. I found this one for 50 cents.
No, look.
Stashed in with all the Mantovani.
Oh, yes.
I think someone was trying to hide it, but I found it. And so, I said, yoink. I said, yoink, when I took it out of the rack.
Let it be known that he said the yoink sound.
I made the yoink noise.
So this is somewhat relevant. I had an unpleasant experience yesterday at the post office.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
I'll try to do it more tenderly next time. But, I was overcome in the moment. The postman always rings twice.
Make this up front. I was fortunate enough to have to post a CD to a customer in France.
Fortunate enough to have a customer.
Exactly. I'm not complaining that
or,
I have to...
as they call them in France, le customer.
So I sell that for $15 Australian on the Bandcamp site. The postage to send that to France... came to $14 Australian. 14 to post a $15 CD.
You might as well just go to France. Take it with you.
That's what someone has suggested.
Couldn't you have a European distributor?
Yes, that's what it comes down to, if the volume is worth it.
Yeah, I'd like to buy lots of CDs and things off Bandcamp. They sell them, sometimes they're really cheap, like $5 or 10 for 50 bucks. And then, great. Then you look at the postage and think, nah.
And they're not trying to rip you off.
Not even at $5.
Surely there's got to be like a market gap. Problem is Australia, right, I suppose. Somebody could go and get a boat and get like half a dozen containers and shove them in.
But they say, I just bought a boat.
Pack it full of stuff.
A bigger boat.
And then sail off there and then do it for cheaper money. Like, well, that's how
I
believe that's how economics works. Jeff's got an economics degree.
Yeah, so it's economies of scale and arbitrage.
It's just another stake through the heart of physical media.
We're at the arse end of the world.
Maybe you need a move.
Oh, undoubtedly.
I think, like, God has been sending some signs recently that Australia might be a shit place to live.
Recently?
Mind you, some of the other options aren't so great.
Japan, they still love their physical media there, even though it is dying as well.
I'd like a digital library. I'd like ownership of those things.
Yes, I'd like that. And I'll tell you what, the problem now I have is continuing to prune my digital garden. I've got so much digital junk strewn across so many hard drives.
You need to manscape your digital
junk. Well, you need streaming.
No, I'm not interested in streaming.
Well, what's the difference?
The difference is I control the quality of what I have.
Oh, who cares?
I care.
How much do you care?
A lot. You know, I've got 5-6 different versions of the same album from, you know, different years, different mastering, that sort of thing.
You can still get some of that stuff. You can't get everything on streaming, but you can get, like, different versions of things.
Yeah, how important is that, though?
Really?
It's important to me.
This remaster
is
and
it
that
really?
Remaster.
Yeah, that's. Yeah. I love that stuff. But I'm not saying that this
I've got, like,
this is not instead of streaming. You can stream as well. You can do both.
I would like some transfer of the music that I love and the books that I love to my kids. And they can see the books that I've read and they can see the CDs that I've had.
And they can throw them out when you die.
And they can say, God, Dad, yeah. that shit taste in music and books.
There's definitely a good way to carry on your legacy through what they like and don't like.
Ken's library can be used as a cautionary.
But
don't read any of this.
That's only an issue.
Stuff to avoid.
What you have isn't going to be available, right? Like, if it's still available, we should change the topic. We don't want to, like,
Let's talk about Frank and Fido.
Oh, yeah, we had a great jam the other week.
So we did have a jam the other week, and we do have a clip to play from the jam.
Oh, do we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Well, we will once I finish my editing of it.
Okay.
To cover up all our little...
No, there's no editing. It's just what you hear is what you get.
It was totally live.
Exactly.
Can you play a bit now and we can talk about it? Provide some colour, some commentary?
I'd have to play it on my phone.
Okay. Now, this was... I was just playing something on the acoustic guitar. I like the down, 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 down. And I played some chords. And Ben, I don't know how you've heard this in your mind, but you said, I'm going to record the keyboards first, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to record this Dave Gilmour guitar solo, and then I'm going to layer them on top of each other.
We had your riff on Move to Bass. But
and that is a cool bass line, I think, too.
I don't know how it evolved into that, but... Clearly, I mean, I had a tough time trying to rein you in, Jeff, chord-wise. I remember I tore what was left of my hair to say, can we just get, like, 8 chords, please, a set sequence, and then we can repeat that and I can wail over it.
Well, I had this idea in my head that it goes to half-time at some point. I was trying to get Baby to play.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's full of possibilities. I'll probably pause that now because
the
punters have heard it.
Okay. Yeah, we don't want to give away too much of the farm. Got to keep them wanting more.
You got to pay for the cow.
Yeah. That's good. Why would you buy the cow when you get the milk for free?
So we recorded that pad with Dean's drums on the first bar, whatever, the first measure. And then, yes, in my head, in your heads perhaps, but definitely my head, I pretended those chords were still happening and continued as if. And it just meant adjusting the overall time sequence to fit the next measure. So, yes, the tempo can waver, but that particular keyboard measure can shrink or grow as required.
I see.
And in fact, you know, some of it was spot on.
You did say, like,
against all odds.
Considering that was the end of, like, a very long session of playing your drums and I was completely buggered.
Yeah, like 10 minutes.
Ow.
I think that might have been about 4 hours or something like that.
Yeah,
I'd actually driven down from the coast just for this jam. So yeah. I was a bit tired and emotional too.
But you didn't see Jeff complaining about not being able to drum, did you?
No. But what's I think is unusual is that, you know, we came to this thing, we hadn't jammed in a while, and we're playing this stuff and it's all loose and whatever. I don't know, let's just play. But when I listened to it again and I cut out certain bits, I thought, this is gold.
Yeah, so look, my problem is we have so much material and it takes us so long to finish a song.
We say us.
Yeah, because...
because you do everything.
No, if it were just me, it would get finished and it would sound like a Ben Craven song.
Mm,
but
true.
This band is not Ben Craven. Mm. So I am...
This band is not Ben Craven.
I'm quite insistent
that... This band is not Ben Craven.
You know, that everyone gets represented.
Yep.
Yeah, don't listen to us. We're full of shit.
Well, I know that, which is why we don't get together very often. So, look, this brings me to an idea that I've had, which is getting you, the listener, involved in what songs
we finish. No, she didn't say listeners. Thanks, Mum.
You and the other listener.
All right, so we've got, like, 30, more than that, jams worth of material.
Mm-hmm.
I can get, like, a 30-second sample or something of all these kind of good bits.
Is there even 30 seconds?
Well,
of
I know. I thought the same thing just then. Most of that will be advertising.
That was a softball.
The Terrifying Bears song. I loved that. Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Half man, half stag.
Half stag, yeah. I think we can get people involved, again, to vote or rate the pieces.
So how will we do this? Let's put up three...
I don't want Dean's mum skewing the results.
So we put up three...
We certainly wouldn't put up, 100 pieces at once.
Let's say we put up three and say, which one of these should we release?
Franken-Survivor.
Well, I don't know.
The weakest Franken-link.
So three songs.
Well, we could start with three songs. We could start with three.
Here they are, three songs. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba. Vote for your favourite. That's what I reckon. And then the next one, we tack it on the end.
I would be really interested in the results of also, I mean, I'm not saying we should do this, but really interested if we had like 50 pieces of music up there that people could listen to a mark out of 10. It's a big ask.
People can be cruel.
As long as they're consistently cruel.
No, they're not going to do that. It's like going to a grocery store and seeing 50 loaves of bread you got to choose from.
Got to keep them simple. Here's three.
It's a tasting. It's like going to a wine tasting event.
No, you're paralysed by choice.
Maybe you should just put up a clip and say rate it out of 10, and at the end of however long we say which one's got the most votes.
We do three.
Okay.
We do three every podcast, and then people could could rate them, and then we take the top 10 of that.
True.
And that's the album.
Yep,
that's democracy at work, people.
Because it works so well in the real world.
Yeah, democracy is also the thing that gave you Brexit and Donald Trump and Scotty from marketing.
You know, it's great having such a fantastic prime minister and so close to Australia. She's awesome.
Thanks, Jacinta.
All right, so let's try this maybe next podcast or maybe by this one. No, next one, so we get this one out the door.
Can I vote?
Yeah, of course.
Cool, I'm going to vote early and vote often.
Vote for Jeff Part 1 and then Jeff Part 2 and Jeff Part 3.
Can I vote twice?
I don't like any of Jeff's parts.
Yeah, we can't use that.
I'll cut all that out.
go. That's
soft
it.
And sexy sound.
Oh my god.
That was a bit Kenny Everett.
Oh my god.
Cara, hello, kids. Oh, Kremen here.
Hello, Captain.
Hello, Carla.
Oh, yeah, Captain.
Into the Throbotron.
Oh, hello, Captain.
Hi, kids.
Hey, kids. Kremen here.
Concorde pilot, mountain climber, and concert pianist.